Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, 29 verses, translation and commentary. Also, we have part 8 of receiving the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And no one can individually reach the fullness of the stature of Christ. The term refers to the entire body of Christ. When we all become one in Christ Jesus and we're operating in the Spirit, all of us together, that is the fullness of the stature of Christ. And there are little small churches, groups of people throughout the entire world, clusters of true Christians. Many of them are small groups. Some are like two, group of five, 20, 50s, 100s, a few thousand. And in some cases, I mean, we have responses from India, Africa, and other areas where there are like a half a million and a million Christians. But this, you know, it's just very hard to confirm the ones that are actually walking in the Spirit. But they're, praise the Lord, they're all listening to the gospel, and we get confirmation all the time that these people are really growing in the Lord. The Lord said there would be millions and millions in the body of Christ, but that is very few in comparison to the 5 or 6 billion people on earth today. And so it's our job to go into the highways and hedges and to every nation of the world and preach the gospel to every tongue. And thank God we're in all the nations now. And this is a sign that the Lord gave us of the fig tree, where he stated we'd be able to tell when it's summertime, when we see the buds of the flowers on the fig tree budding forth, and that this is a significant sign that it's summer. And the Lord says, when you see all these signs, earthquakes in diverse places, when you see all the nations rising up against nations, when you see people creating wars, and that there's rumors of wars, there's famines, great famines all over the world, pestilence, and a multitude of other things mentioned in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. You can tell that the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. And then when he says there's a time of trouble that has never been before or never will happen afterwards, and it's getting so bad, the Lord said, that he'd have to shorten the time, or even the very elect would not be able to continue on. And so we can expect that the Lord is going to begin sending out great, incredibly great tribulations that he promises that will hit the entire earth. And it's, you know, I can see that it's summertime, you know, that the buds are opening up. This is a sign that the Lord Jesus Christ is standing at the door and ready to come back to take us. But this is not going to happen until immediately after the tribulation. So don't let anybody deceive you as to that there's a Messiah. He said you'll see many false prophets, and the television is just loaded with them. We get so many letters complaining about the false prophets or the unscriptural people that are preaching the gospel on television. Father, let's go up to the throne now. I mean, I could talk about this all day long, but we've got the 7th chapter of Matthew here to read and also to comment on in part 8 of, and we've got a couple of letters too, and a phone room response. Father, let's go to the throne now. Father, pour out your outward anointing on this message today. Lord, we pray, Lord, that through this message there'll be hundreds of millions of souls that will ask the permanent life of Christ, that they ask Christ himself, who is the permanent life, the everlasting life, because Christ always is with the Father and with the Spirit. As a matter of fact, Christ has become the quickening Spirit, or which that means the life-giving Spirit, the permanent life-giving Spirit that enters into a human body when they come to the Lord Jesus Christ and want to really live the Christian resurrected life. It's a new life. It's the old life has to be buried and dead, and we have to be resurrected and live the Christian, the Christ life. Let Christ live out his life with the Father by the Spirit in and through us, so that the work of God can be done in this world in and through us. Lord, let every one's ears, let their hearts open up, and their ears open up, their spiritual ears, so that they can hear and understand the things that you'll be saying through your servant Tony today. Lord, let people that are in the body be edified and become stronger by this message that you're going to give to all of us today, and let hundreds of millions of souls be saved through it, because one thing about the Word of God is it never gets old, and the messages that are given in the Spirit never get old as well. People say, Lord, we can read the Bible, and it's as fresh and new today as it was on the day that it was written. And when you're pouring out your Spirit through your servants that are preaching the Word of God, when it's you, Lord, these tapes and the literature are the same. They have the same power, the same strength, the same Holy Spirit in it as it was on the day that it was written or the day that it was recorded. And Lord, we give you all the praise, the honor, the glory, and the thanks for doing it. In the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, so let's, where's the first letter from, Sister Jeannie?
It's a phone response from Cleveland, Ohio.
Cleveland, Ohio, all right.
A 37-year-old man from Cleveland, Ohio, called the witnessing line today and said that he found your gospel literature, Mass Suicide, on the ground by the bus stop.
And the mass suicide, again, I've explained it before on air, is a piece of literature stating that as we see the Lord approaching, all the signs are here. These are wake-up calls all over the globe and in the heavens as well. And for people to not accept the Lord and begin doing what he says and continue doing what he says, I call it, and the Bible calls it, mass suicide. You can commit suicide many ways, and one of the for sure signs, ways that you can commit suicide is to turn your back on the Lord, to not do exactly what he says. All right, and then continue on. So he found the mass suicide piece of literature, and then what?
He read the literature and was convicted of his sins and got saved and wants more of your literature to strengthen him. And also he would like to come to the church and learn how to serve the Lord and live a Christian life.
Praise the Lord. Well, tell him, come on. We're, you know, people that want to serve the Lord. If you keep all the rules and regulations here at the church and everywhere you go in this world, whether you're working at a hamburger stand, there's rules, and we have them here as well. Now, there's a lot of places, most of the churches don't have any place for you to live, and they will not feed you or clothe you or any of this, but we have that, and if you, but, you know, there's a contingency. God doesn't love us unconditionally, like the people, false prophets say. There's always a condition with the Lord. He loves, so loved the world that whosoever believes, that's the condition. You must believe that you will have eternal life. And he knows that you believe if you do what he says. All right? And he says that we're going to be judged for the works that we allow God to do in and through us. And if you don't surrender your body, your life to the Lord, well, then, of course, there's going to be an ill reward. It's like the Lord gives you salvation, like he gives one man 10 bags of gold, another one 5 bags of gold, and another one bag of gold, according to their abilities to be able to use the amount of gifts that the Lord gives you. And the one with the 10 bags doubled his, and the one with 5 bags doubled his, but the one with 1 bag hid it and didn't even put it in the bank to get interest on it. And so the Lord sent that one out to outer darkness where there'd be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So there's something that we have to do with our eternal life. And the Lord, if you use what the Lord gives you, if you use the life that he gives you, which is his life, which is his permanent, eternal, everlasting life, if you'll let him reign and rule you, and if you'll let his Spirit, the powerful Spirit the quickening, life-giving Spirit, be a cross to everything in the world, in your flesh, in your ideas and your opinions and all these things, and put the Spirit to everything in your life. That is the same as carrying the shouldering the cross. Well, then God will bless you abundantly, and there's no telling the mighty works that the Lord God will be able to do in and through you. So the main thing, the shortcut to serving the Lord, is just surrender your entire life to Him. Let Him take it all over and, you know, get on with permanent life. Amen?
Amen.
People say, well, you know, I get on with life. This is not life here. This is temporal life. Everyone's going to die for sure. But the life that the Lord gives us, if we let Him use the life that we have, this body, as long as this body lives, your body, my body, then we have permanent, everlasting, immortal, eternal life in heaven with Him, and it never ends. If not, there's a very bad reward, and that's the pits of hell and the lake of fire, where there's horrible misery and torments. And it takes a long time to explain it all. I've explained it in literature and on tapes before. I'm sure if you want the tapes, you'll order them, and they're not, they don't cost you anything. And the literature as well, and Bibles, and the Messiah books. So go ahead, let's continue this.
The next letter is from Democratic Republic of Congo, Africa. In June of this year, a man came to our center to take some newsletters, but before doing so, he let us know that he had problems with his eyes. He could not read easily, and it made it longer to get it done. In spite of these difficulties, he was dying to read the message by Pastor Tony Alamo. He took three newsletters with him. A few days later, we welcomed him with all joy as he told us that he had no trouble reading them. He was healed at the moment that he started reading them.
And the reason for it was because the message is not from Pastor Tony Alamo. The Lord used me as an instrument to write him, but the message was from him, and the Lord knew that this man had a burning desire to hear the message of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And so the Lord healed him. Not me. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All the glory goes to the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anything else?
We are all together thanking and praising the Lord for this miraculous healing.
Amen.
S.M. from Democratic Republic of the Congo, Africa.
All right. Anything else?
Yes. Then from Angola, Africa. I want you to know that a miracle happened today. A Muslim received Jesus through your book, Messiah According to Bible Prophecy. Amen.
Right. We're not to bomb the Muslims because they don't believe the way we do, or the Buddhists, or the Hindus, or anybody. We're to preach the gospel to all the cults in the world. You know, the people, the world government, they'd say if you don't belong to the Catholic cult, what they call the church, well, kill them. That's it. We've got to, in order to bring peace about, we all have to be one religion, and religion is of the devil, but salvation is of the Lord. The people, the Lord wants people to unite with Him, not with religion. Because there's no salvation in religion, but salvation is of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And we can have a real experience with the Lord Jesus. I had, and I've seen millions of people through this ministry have real intimate relationships with the Lord Jesus Christ. But I've never seen anyone have an intimate relationship with religion. Truly, religion is of the devil, salvation is the Lord. Is of the Lord. You see the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes in the Old Testament, those were the great religious leaders. And they definitely taught, they were the experts in teaching the scriptures. But the problem was is they didn't do what the scriptures said. Amen?
Amen.
Because they didn't have the power of God in them. They didn't have the Spirit of the Lord. Knowing the scriptures is one thing. But we don't have the power to do what the scriptures command us to do, unless the Spirit of the Almighty God is living in and through you. He must be in you, and you must surrender your life to Him so He can work in you. You can, if you're stubborn and you say, well, you know, you have your own will and all this, the Lord can't do anything with the stubborn person. You must be broken. Because when you're a broken vessel, the Lord is able to move in by His Spirit through that brokenness and make you a spiritual being, a whole spiritual, make you every whit whole as a spiritual being of the Lord. The Lord will take it over your life and make you a permanent living creature with eternal, immortal life, and you'll have peace and serenity, knowing that in the event that your body dies, that your soul, your spirit is going to be right there with the Lord in heaven and in paradise. And that's the only peace that there is on earth. You're not going to find peace anywhere else. All peace has been taken from the earth. And that's another sign of the end time. And the Lord stated that all peace would be taken from off the earth. And He said it's going to get worse and worse. Don't expect from the Democratic or Republican parties or any other party that things are going to get better. Every time there's a new election, things get worse. Can't you see that? Look at history and all the way down the line till today. It's going to get worse. These human beings that are not regenerated or generated from the Spirit of God, they don't know anything because they're dead in their sins and trespasses. And the Bible says that the dead know nothing. But only those of us who know the Lord that are alive eternally, and we see God and we know God because we've died out to this world, and therefore we can see God. No man can see God and live. These people are alive to the world and the world system, but we're alive to, and permanently alive, and therefore we can see the direction of the Lord very clearly, and it behooves you to listen to what we have to say, because what we're saying is not from us, it's from the Lord Himself. Can't you tell? Okay, then what?
That was all the
letters. All right, so now let's begin reading Matthew chapter 7.
Don't condemn others. Verse 1.
No, because the Word of God condemns, the law condemns everybody. The law cannot save anybody, but because the law, when God sees you sin, the law goes into action. Even after you get saved, if you sin, the law is immediately condemns you. The law is not a saving instrument. The law is to be kept. And no one can keep the law unless the powerful Spirit of God in Christ by the Holy Spirit is living in and through you. So the law is the judging instrument of the Lord. And when we get saved, then we're free. We're out of jail. The actual story of Pharaoh, who would not allow the children of Israel to go and worship the Lord and sacrifice unto Him, is a type or a figure or a symbol of Satan that does not want you to be free to serve the Lord. And he holds us in bondage because we don't, and he wants to stop you from hearing the gospel, because the gospel has the power of the Holy Spirit in it to give you the power to break loose from Pharaoh, the devil. Pharaoh is a type or a figure of Satan. And so God had to completely destroy Egypt and the firstborn of Egypt and the entire Egyptian army in order to set the children of Israel free. But first, before they could be set free, they had to acknowledge the blood of the Lamb of God. They had to kill a lamb and put the sign of the cross on the mantle and the doorpost, which was symbolic of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus had to be shed. That was just a symbol. And Satan does not want you to be free to serve the Lord. But the blood of Jesus, when you accept the blood of Jesus on your soul, that takes away all your former sins, and the law no longer can condemn you to hell in the lake of fire. But the Lord says, go and sin no more. Once you've been washed in the blood and filled with the Spirit, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing happens to you. Well, what would the worst thing be? The worst thing is that there's no more salvation. There's no more repentance, and it tells you that in the New Testament. And so we have to guard our soul. We have to guard the Spirit of God that's in us. We have to treasure it as pearl of great price, or a great treasure that's found in the field. You might have found it accidentally, salvation, or you might find salvation from this message today. And if you do, guard it. Get into the Bible and read everything that the Lord says, because the instruction from the Bible, from the Word of God, adds more and more of God's permanent life in you, and adds more and more of God's power and strength for you to be able to retain eternal life. And so you are only safe if you do what the Lord says. He says, pray always, read the Bible, keep your mind stayed upon the Lord. Well, people say, well, where is the Lord that we can stay our mind on him? The Bible. The Bible says that the Word of God, the Bible, is the Lord. That's not just a book, that's God. The Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, so when you're looking at the Word of God, and you are saved, you can understand the Word of God, you're looking at God. Amen?
Amen.
So if you love the Lord, look at God all day long. Read your Bible, you know? And don't look at the things of this world, because the things of this world, there's nothing to them except all that is in the world, the Bible says, is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And these lusts, these are the bondages of Pharaoh. These are the things, the world and your flesh. You've got to put the Spirit in there so that it gives you the power to overcome your own flesh, your own desires, your own, and all the lusts of the world. You've got to get your eyes off of it onto the Lord. When Peter kept his eyes on the Lord, he could walk on water. But when he took his eyes off the Lord, he sank. Amen?
Amen.
And Jesus says, oh, you of little faith, why don't you keep your eyes on the Word? The Bible says that Jesus is the Word of God, and that the Word of God came into the world as a man in the flesh, and so that he could have actual, genuine human blood, so that when they crucified him on the cross, he could shed his blood as the Lamb of God from the foundation of the world, so that our sins could be washed away. And all we have to do is have faith in that fact, that the Lord died on the cross, shed his precious blood for our sins, and that he was buried, was buried and rose from the dead, and then ascended into the kingdom of heaven and sits there alive right now, ready to respond to your prayer of wanting salvation. And when you when you call on him, he will respond to you, and he will enter your soul, into your spirit, into your body right now. If you'll call on him, he will respond and give you eternal life. He says, everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, but you've got that pearl of great price, but you have to maintain it by keeping your eyes on the Lord. And who is the Lord?
The Word of God.
There you go. You know that now too, so there's no excuse. Keep your eyes on away from the world and on the Word of God, and continue on that way to the end, and thou shalt be saved. That scripture is right in the 24th chapter of Matthew. Read the 24th chapter of Matthew. Those that continue on, he says the times are going to get rough and tough and worse as time goes on, but those that continue on in the Word to the end shall be saved. Matthew, the 24th chapter. All right? Praise the Lord. All right, now continue on, please.
Verse 1. Quote, stop judging others with your own judgment, and you will not be judged.
Right. We can judge everything by the Word of God, but we're not to just say, well, this person is of the devil because they're preaching the gospel. No, anyone that's saying that, it needs to be delivered. Satan's really got a stronghold on you. Old Pharaoh's got a hold on you, brother. Now get up to the Lord and get rid of that evil demonic clutch that Satan has on you. All right? Okay, then what?
Verse 2. For others will treat you as you treat them. Whatever measure you use in judging others, it will be used to measure how you are judged.
Yeah, on the final day. Okay, of judgment. Then what?
Verse 3. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own eye?
Right. A lot of people, you know, they condemn people one after the other and just really ride herd on them with their own judgment. For instance, we had a man that moved into the church and he didn't know the ropes, and he went and took somebody else's soap because everybody owns their own stuff. But we should be willing to give meals and everything else to unsaved people. And why not let a brother that comes in have some soap to wash his clothes? Amen?
Amen.
Well, these people wanted, a couple of these immature brothers wanted to throw him out of the church. And I said, wait a minute, you're the ones that should be thrown out for judging him with your own judgment. This man thought this is a community living type situation, and he needed soap to wash his clothes, and you should have told him, just put it here, or take my soap. And then you could have just put it on the list, and I'd have given you a whole barrel full of soap if you needed it. And you know that, and you're too quick, some of the people in churches, to condemn the brothers. And the Lord will definitely condemn you if you condemn others. All right? You cannot do that. I mean, if somebody takes some soap to wash their clothes, as a matter of fact, when people check into our church, you should... I made sure after I heard that everyone gets their soap and their sandals, and they're explained all these different things, and their shoes and their underclothes and their clothing and their pillows and their sheets and blankets and all this sort of stuff immediately. And if that doesn't happen, they don't know what's going on unless you brothers and sisters in the churches all over the world tell them, you know, that these things that the Lord provides them for us to give to you, all right? The Lord and his people are givers, not takers. All right, then what?
Verse 4, how can you think of saying, quote, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, unquote, when you can't see past the log in your own eye?
Right, you got a vicious spirit that wants to throw people out of the church when the Lord wants to bring them into the gathering place so that they can be a part, a member of his body. And here you want to throw them out. You've got to have patience. Otherwise, the Lord will not have any patience with you. He'll throw you into a bed of affliction, my friend. Be careful. Then what else?
Verse 5, hypocrite! First get rid of the log from your own eye. Then perhaps you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye.
You know, the spec is that the guy wanted some clothes to wash his, some soap to wash his clothes. That's a spec. Amen?
Amen.
And he thought it was community soap, so he grabbed some. But these people wanted to viciously throw him back into Egypt, back under Pharaoh, because he took some soap. That is evil, friends. That is extremely evil. We should be giving the man soap. Amen?
Amen.
And whatever else he needs. All right, then what else?
Verse 6, don't give what is holy to unholy people. Don't give pearls to swine!
Well, in other words, don't stand out there and preach to a bunch of people that you can see are arguing back and forth with you. There's too many other people in the world that need to be witnessed to that will receive the gospel. Don't stand on the street arguing with Hare Krishnas or these people that are with other cults. Like Jehovah's Witnesses, because if they're arguing with you, they're not receiving it, just shake the dust of your feet off. You're giving them a platform to preach their false doctrine, and there will always be a crowd that gathers, and you're giving them a way to vent out their false doctrine to a crowd. So the best thing to do is just leave, and they'll say, hey, you can't argue with me, and so on. Say, no, the Bible says that we're not supposed to, you know, if somebody doesn't receive the gospel, we're to shake the dust of our feet off at you and go on to preach to people that will receive the true word of God. We're not going to sit and stand toe-to-toe with a person that will not receive the word of God. And just go on and mind the Lord's business elsewhere, all right? I used to try to practice witnessing to every cult guy that come on the street, you know, because I know the word so well. When I was a baby Christian, and my wife would say, Tony, you're giving them a platform. And finally, that was true. I'd see crowds gathering around, And you'd get some people saying amen to what I was saying, and some people just jeering with them. And so I saw that what she said was right. And so follow that instruction, and the Lord will bless you like he's blessing me. Okay, then what?
They will trample the pearls, then turn and attack you.
Right, they're going to attack you. Now, this person that stated that he that the literature won a Muslim, boy, when I was put in prison for the gospel, I won many Muslims there, and I've won many Muslims out on the street, too. They'll receive the gospel. They'll receive it. You know, the gospel is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's more powerful than their false doctrine, all the cults' false doctrines. If they'll listen to you and they will receive it, they can be saved. So don't bomb them, Mr. Bush, and all you other vicious people. You need to be saved. You're in the clutches of Pharaoh, okay? And Pharaoh doesn't want to let you go. And Moses kept saying, let my people go. God says, let my people go. And Pharaoh, the old devil, wouldn't let him go. And the devil doesn't want to let you go either. He wants to keep you until your soul goes to hell. Let my people go. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, he wouldn't. And so the Lord just had to fix him. Amen?
Amen.
And the Lord delivered his people. And he'll deliver you if you'll just put the blood of Jesus on your soul, on the doorpost of your heart, and ask him to come in, and you'll be delivered from old Pharaoh, the old devil, to right this moment. Ask Jesus to come in. Okay, and then what else?
Explaining effective prayer. Verse 7, keep on asking, and you will be given what you ask for. Keep on looking, and you will find.
Yeah, if you believe that the Lord's word is true, and you agree with the Lord, he said, if you ask, you'll receive. If you ask not, you will not receive. You have not because you ask not. All right? If you're standing in line for something, you walk up to at a cafeteria, and the person says, what do you want? And you just stand there like a dummy. You've got money in your pocket, but you don't ask. They're just going to think you're crazy and maybe have you escorted outside because you're standing in line and blocking the road for others to come and get something to eat. But if you ask, they'll give it to you if you got the money. All right, then what else? And the Lord will too. How much more the Lord? You ask him and he's going to give it to you because he's already healed you. He's already saved you. He's already given you the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All you have to do is receive it now. It's there for you. All you've got to do is receive it, believe it, and ask, all right? And you'll get it because he's already given it. All right, then what?
Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened. Verse 8.
Yeah, but if you don't knock, somebody stands outside my door, and usually I don't go outside all day long. They'll be standing there day and night because I'll go to the refrigerator and eat, and I might make a sandwich or something. Or go to get something to drink, and they're standing out there, and they're not knocking. And the Lord, too, he's going to be just as stubborn as you. If you'll knock, he says he'll open it. He'll open the door, and he'll let you in, and he'll come into you. He's knocking at the door of your heart, the doorpost of your heart, just where he wants to cover you with his blood by faith. And drowned all your former sins in the sea of God's forgetfulness, and he'll never remember them against you anymore so long as you shoulder the cross, deny yourself, get your eyes on the Word of God, which is God, and stay there until the end, and thou shalt be resurrected into heaven. Praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 8, for everyone who asks receives.
Everyone. See, that even you. He said, well, I never received anything. My dad never gave me nothing. My brother, sister, nobody ever gave me anything. Yeah, but the Lord says to everyone that asks, your dad and mom and whoever else has said anything in your life is not God. God is not going to put you in a shelter. He's going to pull you out of the shelter and put you in the palace. Amen?
Amen.
In the fine place. It doesn't make any difference if you was a gutter snipe. Like I was out on the streets. I mean, I've lived in the ghetto. I lived here and there And the Lord set me into a nice little bungalow, and a nice little place to live. And I love it. I'm happy. I'm content. Praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And there's a lot of people that I know that have been from real bad places in their life, prisons and everything, and they're here, and they're safe and sound. Praise the Lord. God takes some tyrant and puts him on a dunghill, and then takes the beggar off of the dunghill and puts him in the palace. Right?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Everyone who seeks finds, and the door is open to everyone who knocks.
Everyone. That's including you. Amen?
Amen.
So if you're seeking the Lord, you're going to find him in a big way. And you could win more souls than the greatest soul winner in the world. God has big, big ministries for you if you'll just do what he says. You got to start out at the bottom, though. And if he sees you complying right away, you'll go up the ladder of success in the Lord very fast. All right, then what?
Verse 9. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Verse 10. Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not! Exclamation mark. Verse 11. If you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? The Golden Rule. Verse 12. Do for others what you would like them to do for you.
Oh yeah, if a person comes to you for food and they say, I've got 10 kids and I got laid off of my job, and I mean, I'm looking for a job right now. We don't have any food in the house. Our electric bill is due and all this. Load them up like you'd like to be loaded up and have them give the bills to you. If you've got some loot, if you've got some money, and go down to the electric company and pay their bill. Because these kids in there, and they're going to say, and you just say, it's not me that's doing it. The Lord commands me. See, right here, this is a commandment for me to do that. And this is the Lord. Aren't you glad that God is good and tells his children to do good stuff for people?
Amen.
And we don't have any air conditioning in our house. And my dad is a very old, or old grandpa is, you know, old, and he's got a bad heart. I'm going to fix the guy's air conditioning for sure. I'm going to send the best air conditioning man that I know of in town down there, and he's going to fix it today. I want, because inasmuch the Lord says that we've done it unto the least person on this earth of his that belonged to him, you've done it unto me. And they say, well, at the judgment bar gone, they'll say, Lord, he says, come in, my good and faithful servant. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. When I was in jail, when I was in the hospital, you visited me. Say, Lord, you know, when did we do these things? He said, inasmuch as you did it to the least of the people. I was in the house I was in the house and suffering and with a heart problem, and I was sweating and everything. You came and brought that air conditioner. You had a good air conditioner man come in there and put that in there, and you filled my refrigerator with food, and you gave me something to drink, and you paid my electric bill. I was sitting there in the dark, and my kids were. You did it to me, the Lord says. But the ones that ignore the poor, they'll say, Lord, why are you casting us out? He said, well, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me to drink. When I was sitting there with the air conditioning off and the lights out, you didn't do anything. I was sick and you didn't come and visit me. I was in bad shape. I needed some medicine, and like you weren't even like the Good Samaritan who never claimed to be saved. You didn't bring me medicine or just send me to the hospital or visit me there. So depart from me, you wicked. I never knew you. You never visited me. This is the real God that says these things. And so though you people, you know, those that sow abundantly, the more that you'll sow abundantly, the more God is going to bless you. And he's no respecter of persons. If you do it, he'll give you back 100-fold, just like he has everyone else that does that. All right? You're not going to outgive God. Please remember that. And be careful, because that beggar on the street is the Lord. That bum or the guy that fell down is the Lord. That blind person is trying to cross the street, that's the Lord. According to God, amen?
Amen.
That person that's hungry and is like being persecuted or prosecuted and he's innocent, that's the Lord. You better defend that person or help defend him if you can. Okay? Because everybody's the Lord. That's the way I look at it. Okay? But if they're a devil and they're just undermining the church and they've heard all these messages and they don't receive it, I'll put them out on the street. Okay? Now that the Lord wants us to do too. Amen?
Amen.
Put them out with the Gentiles to teach them, hey, you know, you had it made over here, but you don't want to be good to people. You don't want to serve the Lord. You want to let the Lord run his life through you. If the Lord's going to send you out of darkness, I'm going to put you out on the streets to teach you a lesson. Maybe you'll repent before he comes back and sends you to hell. I want you to know what it's like to get the door slammed in your face. If you're that cold and you're that wicked and evil, you don't deserve to be in the house of the Lord. You can come to church services, but if you come in there to undermine the church, I'm a strong pastor. You will not get by with that. I guarantee it. Many people have tried, and many people have found out that they couldn't do that. Not here. Now, you can go over to some other place, and maybe they'll let you do it, but not here. Okay, then what?
This is a summary of all that is taught in the law and the prophets.
This is the bottom line, is helping people like that. You know, that's sum in total. All right? Isn't that simple?
Amen.
Simon. Okay, then what?
The straight and narrow gate, verse 13. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose the easy way. Verse 14. But the gateway to life is small, and the road is narrow, and only a few ever find it. The tree and its fruit, verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really wolves that will tear you apart.
Yeah, they say, oh, brother, sister, I just love you, and all this kind of stuff. I don't see Jesus saying that or the prophets. That's just make-believe hogwash. That's malarkey. Oh, brother, I just love you, and they just hug you. But the minute you put your hand, I have an appointment someplace, you know. Those are the ones that the Lord says, I never knew you, depart from me, brother. Quote, brother, unquote. Or sister. Okay, then what?
Verse 16. You can detect them by the way they act, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit. You don't pick grapes from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles.
Right, and if you see an orange tree, you know there's orange. That's an orange tree. You know, they see oranges on it. Makes sense?
Yes.
See apple tree? Well, it's apple tree. You know, there's apples on there. And if you see a wicked person, that's so wicked. They're like evil. You can tell, unless you're blind. Okay, then what?
Verse 17. A heavenly tree produces good fruit, and an unhealthy tree produces bad fruit.
Well, what is the good fruit? Well, just what I'm telling you here from the Bible, it says do good to people in need. Amen?
Amen.
Because that's Jesus. That's a good teaching. That's a good thing to do. That's good fruit. Amen?
Amen.
Because you're bearing fruit. You're laying up rewards, treasures for yourself in heaven by doing that. You say, well, I'm losing here on earth. Lose on earth. If you think you're going to lose on earth, you won't, because God will give you back 100-fold. But it's better to store up for the kingdom of heaven. Trust God that it's all being chalked up. All right? It's all on the scoreboard. Don't worry, you're not going to get cheated. God is not, you know, misleading you, or he's not a liar. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that he's the truth. He's the way. the truth and the life, no man can approach the Lord. No man can enter the kingdom of heaven but through Christ. And Christ is the Word. Then what?
Verse 18. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. Verse 19. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Verse 20. Yes.
Now that's self-explanatory, isn't it?
Yes.
I don't have to explain that then. Okay, then what?
Verse 20. Yes, the way to identify a tree or a person is by the kind of fruit that is produced by it.
Amen. Then what?
True disciples. Verse 21. Not all people who sound religious or sound like they're saved are really godly. They may refer to me as, quote, Lord, unquote, but they still won't enter the kingdom of heaven. The decisive issue is whether they obey my Father in heaven. Verse 22. On judgment, many will tell me, quote, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name.
Now, if they were preaching the word, it was the word that did that. But the word of God has a tendency to cast out demons. But go ahead.
Verse 23. But I will reply, quote, I never knew you.
See, because like an unsaved person can read the word of God to people on television, and still it'll win souls. But if Christ is not living in them, if they don't have God's love in them, a teacher of the law, the Lord tells his disciples, see those Pharisees over there and Sadducees? They're the legal teachers of the law. They're teaching the right thing, but they don't do it. This is what he's talking about right here. They teach, and people get saved from their teaching, but they're hypocrites. They don't do what the word says. They will not give a penny to anybody. And even if they give food out, that isn't it either. The Spirit of God has to be living in them, because there's hundreds of millions of things that'll occur in your life that they won't know what to do unless it's the Lord doing it through them. And so when the Lord's not living in you, then he doesn't know you. And you really don't know him. You're just a reader of the word, and you feel that it's very profitable to read the word. You know, people read Donald Duck. You know, that doesn't make you a duck, okay? And you can read the Christian words, but that doesn't make you a Christian. Amen?
Amen.
The Christian is, I mean, you have to be born a duck, and you have to be born again to have the Spirit of God in you. Amen? Christ has to be born inside your body, and he has to live and work in through you, all right? So that's the criteria. So when the Lord says, I never knew you, just they never got born again. They never, they weren't letting the Lord live in them and to do his work in and through them. They weren't letting him live out his life in them. And therefore, it wasn't the work of God. It was yours. He says, did we not do it? Yes, you did. But it wasn't a work of the Lord. It was your work. Anybody can read the word. Anybody can read a comic book. Anybody can read the newspapers. Amen?
Amen.
But that doesn't make you what you're reading. You have to have what you're reading. You have to be born a duck to be a duck. You have to be born again of the Spirit of God to be a son of God. He has to live in you. Amen?
Amen.
And he wants to live and work and through you. And so it's not going to be the work of the Lord unless he's doing it. Okay, then what?
But I will reply, quote, I never knew you.
I never knew you. You were born again. I wasn't in you. Amen?
Amen.
You could go up to a duck and say, I'm a duck. The duck, he won't believe you. Right? And the Lord, if the duck won't believe you, then you know for sure that the Lord's not going to believe you either. Amen?
Amen.
He knows when he's in you and working in and through you. You can't shuck the Lord, you know. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Go away. The things you did were unauthorized, unquote. Building on a solid foundation. Verse 24. Anyone who listens to my teaching and obeys me is wise, like the person who builds a house on a solid rock. Verse 25, though the rain comes in torrents and the flood waters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on rock. Verse 26.
Yeah, that rock is the Word of God, the Spirit of God. The rock that keeps us steady, see, it's the Spirit of God that's holding the world in the air. It's in midair. Amen?
Amen.
And it's tumbling, you know, the exact same way every day. So it's the Word of God that is the solid rock that keeps us, the Spirit of God can keep us steady and keep us saved to the end. Because if it's powerful enough to hold up the planet and everything in the planet and the sun and the moon and the stars and all the galaxies, He can hold little old you or I up, amen?
Amen.
If He's in you. But if He's not, you're on your own, Charlie or Sally, whoever you are. Okay, then what?
Verse 26, but anyone who hears...
That's why all these people are committing suicide. There's no stability in them. There's no God in them. And that's why they can't cease from sinning. Because there's no power. There's no power there. Okay, then what? The Lord's not there. Jesus said all power and all wisdom, all authority is His. He said in the book of Matthew, all power and authority has been given to me over heaven and earth. Amen?
Amen.
And He has the power and authority to make you stand on the solid rock and make you feel you're like the Rock of Gibraltar because of Him in you. Okay, then what else? Better than the Rock of Gibraltar. The Rock of Gibraltar will crumble and mountains will tumble. Amen?
Amen.
They're only made of clay, but the Lord's love is here to stay. Amen?
Amen?
The Spirit. Okay, then what else?
But anyone who hears my teaching and ignores it is foolish, like the person who builds a house on sand. Verse 27, when the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will fall with a mighty crash, unquote. Verse 28, after Jesus finished speaking, the crowds were amazed at His teaching. Verse 29, for He taught as one who had real authority, quite unlike the teachers of religion or religious law.
See, religion is of the devil. Salvation is of the Lord. We have to know the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
We have to become acquainted with Him. He wants to be acquainted with you. And He will be acquainted with you, and you'll be acquainted with Him. There's no need to have Him on the Day of Judgment say, I never knew you. Break loose from Pharaoh. Break loose from that devil and come to the Lord. And the Lord has the power to just deliver you out of Egypt, out of the clutches of the devil. Now, okay, commentary.
Chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Prayer will teach us how to be preserved. It teaches us preservation. These three commands, quote, keep on asking, unquote, quote, keep on looking, unquote, and quote, keep on knocking, unquote, are positive commands from the Lord. They must become habits we must develop if we will persist in prayer with realistic faith and hope and charity. Once we fully appreciate the kind of Father in heaven who hears our prayers. Many people, when they're growing to the fullness of the stature of the Lord, have suffered because of dysfunctional, even abusive people in their lives, such as parents who often give you stones and snakes instead of bread. Therefore, often you must completely receive God's word, and you must think of God as not like your mother or dad or anybody else in your life. God is your real Father, who gives good gifts to His children. If you are His children, you do what He says. As we discover God's loving character by reading His word, you'll definitely be encouraged to ask Him and continue asking for the things that you need so that you're able to grow to the fullness of the stature of Christ. Chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. The good fruit that our life must be producing is, quote, souls, unquote. We must love souls so that we can be loved back and have joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, which is not really self-control, but we control ourselves to be controlled by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and you're not going to win soul and retain souls in the church if the people that get saved and moved into the church and they don't see the Lord working in and through you in the church. A lot of people get into pulpits in different churches and they give these great swelling testimonies and you really think that that person is of the Lord. They get off the platform and they turn into, you know, a devil. I mean, they walk away from the platform behind the pulpit and they will do evil things to people. People say praise the Lord and they just walk by them and don't say anything, or they'll see somebody in need. That hasn't even crossed their minds to be a Christian. And so therefore Christ is really not living in them. Or if he is, they're not aware of it. And a brother and sister, you better become aware of who you are. And if Christ is in you, you better become aware of it and let him work. All right?
Amen.
Okay, then what? Because your church will never, the gathering place will never grow. You'll never be able to keep a soul in there when they see you giving great testimonies and getting down off the platform and just not being concerned about brothers and sisters and not keeping the gathering place clean. If you let spider webs all over the sanctuary, if the outside of the sanctuary is dirty and filthy, if the food is not delicious and nutritious, if there's filth all over the place, you're not going to, the people will not believe that you're Christians. So there's more, you know, you must be like Christ. Christ was very meticulous. Even when he rose from the dead, they went into the tomb and saw his grave clothes folded neatly at the end where he had been laying. He didn't just throw the sheet off like some brothers and sisters do in their dormitories or in their houses and leave things laying all over the floor. No, that doesn't show you cause people to, you know, your brothers and sisters that are living with you and the children to just, I mean, they just see you acting worse than some unsaved people. There are some unsaved people that keep their houses just meticulous. You drive through Beverly Hills, Bel Air, and you see the most beautiful gardens. Their gardens are kept up and everything. And you admire them more than you would people that say they're Christians and yet their place looks like a ghetto. All right? So remember these. Everything is important in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, continue on, please.
Galatians 5:22-23 tells us that in the forms of different addictions that we have, however, we are without peace and totally out of control. If we can take an honest moral inventory of ourselves, you'll have to admit that the fruits of our life are not those that God intends for us to have. Unless you admit that you have failures and you rely on the Lord solely to give you the power to overcome them, you will not be able to recover. You will not be able to work. You will not be able to produce the fruit that God wants to produce, and you will not be able to produce the fruit of the Spirit within yourself.
No, whenever I'm around a place that's dirty and filthy, and they call themselves Christian, it repels me. I mean, I just want to run from a place like that. And so, you know, you've got to keep everything up. Everything has to be repaired. You have to be courteous to people, not faking it. You have to let the Lord work in and through you to, you know what the Bible says that you're supposed to do, and treat everybody as though they're the Lord. All right?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Have you made a searching and fearless oral inventory of yourself? There have probably been times when you have ignored your own sins and problems and pointed a finger at someone else. You may be out of touch with your internal affairs because you are still blaming others for your moral choices. Or perhaps you would make self-examination by making moral inventory of the people around you. When God asked Adam and Eve about their sin, they each pointed a finger at someone else. Quote, have you eaten the fruit I commanded you not to eat? Unquote. Quote, yes, unquote, Adam admitted, but it was the woman you gave me who brought me the fruit, and I did eat. Unquote. Then the Lord God asked the woman, quote, how could you do such a thing? Unquote. The serpent tricked me, she replied. Genesis 3:11-13. It seems to be human nature to blame others as our first line of defense. We also may avoid our own problems by evaluating and criticizing others.
Well, receive the reproof of the Lord, because it's for the shaping up of your soul. You got to shapen up. Amen?
Amen.
Let the Lord live in you. Don't try to defend the satanic thing that you did, because then what you're doing is defending the devil. You've been called to defend the Lord and to preserve your soul and to win other souls. Defending or lying is not defending your soul. You may think it's important to just hide things and cover it up, but the Lord knows what you're doing. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Is that what you do? Jesus tells us, quote, and why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own eye? Hypocrite! Exclamation mark. First get rid of the log from your own eye, then perhaps you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye, unquote. Matthew 7:3-5. While going through this step, you must constantly remember that this is a season of self-examination here in this world. We've got to do that before we go out into eternity.
Yeah, and so the way you examine yourself is by reading the Word of God and paralleling what you're doing with it. And the Holy Spirit, if you're pouring the Spirit into your body, which is by reading, the Holy Spirit will convict you. You'll see, the Word will convict you, in other words, I see that I'm not doing these things, or I've done these things. And if you stumbled a little bit, then get back on the straight and narrow. Amen?
Amen.
Get right. Okay, what else?
You must guard against blaming and examining the lives of others. Unless you see sin there, then you should tell the pastor. Or if you want to tell them yourself, that's fine, if you're able to discern.
And if you're able to do it in the Spirit. And then if they don't receive it, you should tell the pastor so he can get. If they don't receive it, then get them before the congregation. If they don't receive it before the congregation, then they're to be considered heathen, and you're supposed to not let them live in the church. If they want to continue coming to the church, and they they still can't, because if they're teaching false doctrine, you have to put them out. According to chapter 11 in the book of Revelation, you have to put them out with the Gentiles. You have to measure them up by the Word of God. If they don't measure up to the Word of God, you have to set them outside where the Gentiles are. Then what else?
If you're not able to discern, then tell me. There will be a
time... Me, the pastor. Me, Tony. And I'll let you know what's right and wrong. Why? Because I know the Bible. And I know the Spirit. The Spirit will let me know, and I'll tell you what the Spirit's telling me. All right, then what else?
There will be a time in the future for helping others after we have taken responsibility for our own lives.
All right, praise the Lord. That was chapter 7, 29 verses, translation and commentary, and now part 8 of receiving the fullness of the stature of Christ.
Christ being formed in us. We may use an illustration, as I mentioned in the service, grape juice whose color is deep enough to be easily recognized. Before Christ is formed in us, we may be likened to grape juice that is very lightly colored, making it difficult to be identified.
Yeah, people won't really know that you're a Christian until they see you doing all the things that the Bible says that the Lord wants you to do. And you can't do them really until you get the Word in you, until you see what's right and wrong. When you do that, then you'll start living those things out, and then you'll become it'll be as though they're more Spirit of God in you, which is symbolizing here with grape juice. Okay? Then what?
However, when Christ is formed in us, men can definitely see the grape juice inside.
Yeah, they can see the works of Christ in and through you when he's working. Okay, then what?
Proceeding a little further, the water in the glass will no longer be seen. It will be swallowed up and overshadowed by the grape juice.
In other words, your own life won't be seen. They won't see you living the same kind of life as an unsaved person out. So most people, they can't tell the difference. I see some of the people there in the church, it surprises me because I see them get around truckers and they start acting like truckers and, walking like truckers and everything. And these truckers don't know that they're saved. I see that in different churches, people like that. And so, but when you're in there and you're carrying yourself properly and you're not disheveled, you don't look as though, you're concerned. You're dressed well and you're not a hippie or a rat, somebody that wants to wear your baseball cap backwards and wear a dirty t-shirt or tank top and look like the world. Don't dress like the world, all right? Be different. And if they say, why don't you wear your cap backwards? Tell them, well, why don't you wear yours forward? Why don't you become a Christian? Then they know who you are, okay? Then what else?
This means figuratively that the life and nature of Christ has increased in us to such extent or degree that Christ has become all in us, overshadowing and swallowing up all of our own elements. What is manifested is completely the element and color of Christ. Thus we call this the majority of eternal life for being full of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right, see, the element of that a bench is made out of wood, so the element is wood. The element, or if it's made out of metal, it's steel or iron or something. And the element of Christ is immortality, permanent life. It's actually very powerful, more powerful than steel and iron, because steel and iron is going to rot, but this permanent life of God goes on forever. Amen?
Amen.
So that's more permanent. You may think that the spirit is weak, but no, your body's weak, but the spirit is powerful. That's why, in order to keep our bodies strong and serving the Lord, it has to have the element of Christ, which is permanent, everlasting life in it. And he wants to do his work in us. And now, we have a list of radio stations. We just went on a new radio station in Arkansas, in Little Rock, the state capital. And it covers, it's a 50,000-watt non-directional station, which means it just, the radius just blasts everywhere. This station can be heard completely throughout Canada and goes clear down to Cuba. It hits all of North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota. You can pick us up in these different parts of the country, Wisconsin, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, Nebraska, Iowa, Michigan, Illinois, Utah, Alabama, Missouri, Kansas, Tennessee, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, Mississippi, and the eastern part of Texas, all of Canada, as I said, and eastern Mexico, and it gets down to Cuba. So that's a real good station. We just praise and thank the Lord for it. And we have an agent now that loves the program so much that he represents 35,000 different AM and FM radio stations, and we also are on short. These are AM and FM radio stations, and we are really praying that God will send the finances on so we can go on all these stations all over the world. And so I just wanted you to rejoice with us about that one radio station there, and then we have the radio station in Memphis. And we're on websites, our own website, and other websites are putting us on, I believe it's 8 and 12 hours a day. And so we praise and thank the Lord for that. So until tomorrow, we'll be doing chapter 8, God willing, of the book of Matthew, and also part 9 of Receiving the Fullness of the Stature of Christ. This is Pastor Tony Alamo saying, keep your eyes glued on the Lord, the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And God bless you and praise the Lord.